Let's open our Bibles together this evening. We come to gather around the Word of the Lord, and we want the Lord to speak to us. And I want you to open your Bibles in the book of Revelation and in the chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, follow us in the reading of God's precious and God's infallible Word as we come to minister God's Word this evening. And in Revelation chapter 20, a familiar passage of God's Word. And yet once again, God has laid this passage upon my heart, and I pray that by His Holy Spirit that God will speak to hearts that are gathered here this evening. Revelation chapter 20 and the verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. We gather this evening around a very solemn passage of God's Word. Because what we're gathering this evening is to gather to listen to the Word of God and God speaking to our hearts about that final judgment. You see, friends, death doesn't end your story. Many men and women hope that that is so, that it would. Because they have nothing for after this. They have no hope. They have no Savior. They have no peace concerning anything beyond this life. But the Word of God says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And then God says, after this, the judgment. The Word of God is very clear. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, in verse 30, it says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why does God command? Not suggest, but it's a command of God. God commandeth all men everywhere. In the furthest regions of this earth, in every part of this little province of the United Kingdom, or in Ireland, or in different parts of the world, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And so we find that God has appointed a day. God has set apart a day in which He will judge the world by that man whom He hath ordained. Friend, this old world is not the end. And even death itself is not the end, because after this, God says, the judgment, you have a meeting with God. And that's why Amos the prophet cried out with all the earnestness of his heart. Amos cried out in chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare. In other words, get ready for your meeting with God. Prepare to meet thy God. I am sure you already see that this is a very solemn thing that we are going to speak about this evening. It's a very solemn message. And I know that quite often today we live in an age whenever preachers preach to try to suit their hearers. They speak about a God of love. They speak about a God of mercy, a God of compassion. And yet, my friend, they forget that this Bible tells us that God is a God of love, and He's a God of mercy and a God of compassion. But God is also a God of holiness. God is a God of justice. And God is a God of truth, as well as God is a God of wrath. And so I want to speak upon this evening the court of no appeal, the greatest assize or the greatest court that can ever be held. And dear unsaved person, if you die in your sin, I can guarantee that you'll be there. Because you see, this great assize is for you. You see, my friend, there will be no escape from us. Some people boast, well, I've never been in court in my life. I want to tell you, you will be. I have never been through a court door. I've never been found guilty in my life. But the Word of God says you will. Because God has appointed a day when you will go to that courtroom. And it is God's courtroom, and it's God's assizes, and it's God's judgment that will be meted out on that day. And God has appointed the day, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and it is appointed after death the judgment. Now, friend, when we come to this passage of Revelation, let us come solemnly this evening in chapter 12 and verse number 11. And John here in this vision which God has given him of that great day, he says, I saw. God gave him a vision on that in the Isle of Patmos, and God carried him a heavenward because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God carried him forth to see a great court scene. It says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Notice with me, first of all, the setting described here. Here is an awful place for sinners. It says, I saw a great white throne. Now, I want you to notice the power here. The Word of God says it is a great throne. It is a great throne. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, it says this, in the verse number 9, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down. In other words, my friend, all the thrones and all the kingdoms of this world are going to come to an end, and they have no authority anymore. But here is a great throne. Here is the power of this scene, because there is no throne on earth that is compared to the greatness of this throne that John sees in this vision. Now, you not only see its power, but you notice its purity. Because the Word of God says, I saw a great white throne. It is a great white throne. And that speaks to me of purity. In other words, at this throne, friend, unlike the courts of this world, you have heard and I have heard how that men have been found guilty. And then some years later, it has been proved that they were innocent. Now, it is true that there's some people have been let out of jail because there was no foolproof. It wasn't that they were innocent. It was that it was not certain. It was not sure. It was believed they had done the crime, but they hadn't the fullness of the proof. But I want to tell you, my friend, at this throne that God has set up, it is the great white throne, it is God's throne, and it's a throne of purity, because there is no injustice that will ever be handed out, or no wrong judgment will ever be meted out at this throne, because it is a pure throne. It is God's pure throne. And justice will always be meted out by God who sits upon the throne. Now, the Word of God goes on to say it's not only a great throne and a white throne, it is a throne. In other words, the purpose for it. The purpose of it is a sovereign throne. It is a sovereign judge that will judge men and women. Now notice, it is not a throne of grace. Now the Word of God says that we can come to God's throne tonight who are saved, and we come to a throne of grace. And there at the throne of God, we shall obtain mercy. And we shall find grace to help in a time of need. But friend, this is not a throne of grace. And this is not a throne of mercy. It is a throne of judgment. And there will be none that will ever overturn the decision of this throne. Because men and women that come to this throne, it's not to prove the innocence or the guilt of the person, but they come to the throne of God for the sentence that is due for their sin. And my friend, this is a very solemn thing, because it's an awful place for sinners. It's an awful place for the unregenerate, because there is no throne of grace and there is no throne of mercy anymore, because it is a throne of God's judgment. It is an awful place, but there's an awesome person. Notice what the Word of God says. I saw a great white throne, and then it says, and him. I saw him. I saw him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who sits upon this throne, friend? Who is it that sits here? Who has the power here? Who has the throne of purity here with the purpose of judgment? It tells us in God's Word, and I read the verse a short time ago in Acts chapter 17. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. And the one upon the throne is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that stands before you tonight and beckons you by the power of the Holy Spirit to come and receive his pardon and his mercy and his grace. He is offering grace tonight. And he's offering mercy tonight for poor, lost, guilty sinners. But friend, this throne is not a throne of grace. It is not a throne of mercy. It is a throne of judgment. But the one upon the throne is the one who can give grace, is the one who can give and extend mercy to poor, lost, and guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinners. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 22, it says this, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." And friend, let me tell you, God has given to the Son the judgment of the throne, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But on that day, the sinner will not confess it to the salvation of the soul, but he will confess it to his damnation. Yes, he is Lord. I refused him. I rejected him. I wouldn't have him. I spurned his mercy and his grace. But my friend, they'll stand before him because God has given him a name that is above every other name. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow. This is not a place of comfort. The majesty of this day, the fearsome moment when man stands before his Maker, because it says this, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. What an awesome person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one who can save the devil's castaways. Thank God, the one who can reach down into the depths of sin and lift a poor lost sinner out of the gutter and the filth of a sin and gloriously save them and change them and transform them. This is the one before whom you will stand, dear unsaved person. And you will meet the Lord. Now notice what it says here in verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You see, there is an awful place for sinners. There's an awesome person, but there's also an awkward position. I saw them stand before God. In other words, my friend, there is no hiding place. There is no place that you can run to. There is nothing that you can call upon that will hide you from the face of this righteous and this holy one upon the throne. You will stand before he who is God, the very God, who became man, a very man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. And you will stand before him. You'll not run away from him. How many men and women have come face to face with Christ and the issues of the salvation of their soul in gospel meetings and have run out? They don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want the preacher to preach it anymore. They think that somehow that they can hide away from God, just as Adam and Eve, they sowed the fig leaves and they fooled themselves that they could hide themselves there in the garden. But the voice of the Lord God called them, said, Adam! Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I was ashamed. And he said, I was afraid. And God says, who said that you were naked? He said, I was ashamed because I was naked. Dear unsaved soul, let me tell you this. You might cover yourself over in your good works and say, I'm not as bad as others. You may fool yourself into thinking that somehow you're religious and your religion will get you through the pearly gates. But when you stand before God, you will cry out like Adam of old, I was ashamed because I was naked, and you will be naked before God, for God will take away all that you have relied upon for years. And fill your soul in and with, because you think that you don't need God's Son or God's offer of mercy. There are many men and women in this community who would never come through this church door, but I want to tell you, they will come before God's throne. They will. There is no escape from the throne. In the book of Revelation chapter 6, it says these words. It says, and the heavens departed as a scroll, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. But my friend, they can't. Why? Because the very heavens and the earth, they flee away. There is no hiding place from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. Men and women call on the rocks and the mountains to try and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Why? Because the great day of God's wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And the answer is, none shall be able to stand. Not one. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Friend, here we have already noticed in our study the setting described. But notice, secondly, the summons declared. It says this in verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Notice in the summons declared, notice the company. It says this, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. No one so insignificant, no one so small that God can't see you. And no one so great and mighty that God can't have authority to bring you to judgment. No, friend, the Bible says the company is the small and the great. In other words, all men everywhere that are unregenerate and unredeemed and unpardoned and unforgiven. I see many people that are in that category. I see those who are the out-and-out sinner. They hate Christ. They hate the Bible. They hate the gospel preaching. They hate the cross. They mock the Bible preacher and they call him a Bible thumper. They mock and scoff at those that come to church. They have no time for the things of God. Yes, the man whose heart is hardened with the encrusted years of sin and he's hardened his soul against the God of heaven and he has no place and no time. He hates the truth of God. I see the others. I see those that are somewhat indifferent. It's not that they hate, but they're just not interested. The Word of God says about a man in the Scriptures, his name was called Gallio. And this is what it says. Gallio cared for none of those things. And friend, let me tell you, the vast majority of people out there, it's not that they hate in an outward open hatred against the gospel preachers, but there's many just don't care. They just haven't a thought. They have no time for the things of God. They're just caught up with life. They're caught up with making money. They're caught up with building houses. They're caught up, my friend, in business and all the rest of it. Or perhaps just even making ends meet, working from week to week and finding it difficult to make it through. But as far as their soul's concerned, as far as eternity's concerned, they haven't a thought. They just don't care. They care for none of those things. Now, my friends, you say, well, what about me? I'm in God's house tonight. Therefore, I have an interest. I'm not that man that hates the book, for I wouldn't be here if I did. I'm not the person that's totally disinterested, because I wouldn't be here if I was. My friend, you're the person that perhaps is self-righteous. You're the person that perhaps is religious. And you're religious. I think that's one of the saddest groupings of all. Because men and women, they're trying to do their best. Men and women, they say, well, I say my prayers, I go to church and I read my Bible and I've been baptized and I've been catechized and I've been confirmed. I have all those things. I've got the church. All of the church has got to offer. I've got it. And friend, they have religion, but they have unrighteousness. They have a creed, but they have no Christ. And you could be sitting here tonight. And friend, we thank God, and I mean it with all my heart. You don't know what it means to this preacher. That you're found in the house of God. I bless God with all my heart. That you are gathered with us here on this hill tonight as I preach the Word of God. But I have to be faithful to your soul. Friend, you can be religious and be lost. You can be religious and yet lost without the Lord Jesus Christ and die in your sin with all your religion and be lost in a Christless eternity. You know, there are other people and they know they need to be saved. And they're not like the ones that I've already spoken about. They're not those that are self-righteous in their own ways because they know they're sinners. They don't hate the Bible. They don't hate God. They don't hate the gospel preacher. And friend, I believe there's such a person in this meeting tonight. Because whilst you know you need to be saved, you're not saved. Whilst you know that you've got to meet God and you need to be ready to meet God, yet you're not ready. You love to hear the gospel hymn sung. You love to open the Scriptures with the preacher when he opens the Scriptures. And you have an interest in the things of God, but you are not saved. You're not saved. And if you died as you are, friend, you would be like all those other people I've been already speaking of. You know, we can say that hell's a place for murderers and adulterers and whoremongers and all the rest. Let me tell you, my friend, hell's a place for sinners. Of all hue and all cry. You don't have to be down in the gutters to go to hell, friend. You see, the greatest sin that's in this Bible is the sin of Christ's rejection. In this Bible, there's a sin which it says it is the unpardonable sin. The murderer can be saved. And the whoremonger can be saved. And the immoral person can be saved. But let me tell you, my friend, the person who rejects the blessed Son of God and sends away the day of grace, they will never be saved. Never be saved. Jesus says, I called, but ye refused. He said, I stretched out my hand, you didn't regard it. You set it not to all my reproofs. Every time I stepped in, you just set it aside. Friend, it wasn't that you were saying, I don't want to be saved. It's not that you were saying, well, you know, I don't believe in being saved. Because I believe that there are many people in this category that believe the need to be saved, that know the need to be saved. They know that Christ is the only Savior, and they're not saved because they're saying, I will be saved, but it's tomorrow. I will be saved another day. And they're putting off their salvation, and they're turning their back upon the blessed Son of God, and they're dying in their sin. Many years ago, there was a man called Aaron Burr. He came to the president of Princeton, New Jersey University. There was a great revival that was sweeping through that area at that time. He came to the president of the university and he said, Mr. President, I've made up my mind to consider the claims of Christ. What would you do? The old president looked at Burr and he said, Burr, if I were you, I would wait until the excitement of the revival has subsided. And then I would think it out carefully. Burr bowed his head and he thought for a moment. He turned to the old president and he says, Mr. President, that's exactly what I'll do. And Burr left the president's office. And he walked away from the reviving of the Spirit of God in that place. And never again did he express desire to be saved. What happened, friend? He procrastinated. He was like Felix, who trembled. Yes, Felix knew what Paul was preaching was true, as Paul preached upon him on righteousness, and he was speaking upon temperance, and then he was speaking about judgment to come. And whenever he talked about the judgment, Felix began to tremble. He says, definitely Felix is going to get saved. Let me tell you, friend, he said, go thy way for this time. No, he didn't say go for good. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, get out, Paul, get out. I don't want to hear that anymore. No, he didn't say that. He says, go thy way for this time. Just for now. And then he says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And friend, Felix went to a suicide's grave. And he died in his sin and he went out to hell, lost for all eternity. And the sin that he committed was a sin of procrastination. Here, my friend, is a company, small and great. And you're standing before God. Notice not only the company, friend, or the persons. Notice the commotion here. Look at the place. It says, the sea give up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them.
And they were judged, every man according to their works. Yes, death. Death and hell. The sea gave up the dead which were in them. Dead, that was the place of their bodies. What happened there whenever God called the sinner to come to judgment? The grave vomited up the bodies of the unregenerate. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The Atlantic, the Pacific, the Mediterranean, the Black, the Dead Sea. They all give up the dead. And the graveyards, they stirred, my friend, because they were rising at the call of God to stand before this blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the dead, the grave, and the sea give up the dead. And the voice of God says, give them up. Give them up. Give their bodies up for judgment. The book of John's Gospel, chapter 5, that I mentioned before, I mention it again because in that same chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, marvel not, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in that which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I hear preachers, you know, when I'm going to funerals, and it grieves my heart because I hear preachers and there's no gospel. And men and women are sitting all around and their hearts are breaking and their hearts are tender, but there's no message for them. No comfort of the scriptures, no challenge of their need of God's salvation. Just a little homily to tell you how wonderful the person was. Then let me tell you, what a folly, what foolishness. And then I hear them stand at the open grave, and one after the other, they say, I commit your body to the ground, earth to earth, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. Where's the resurrection to damnation that's spoken of there? Where's the resurrection unto damnation, friend, that Jesus talked about? All that are in the graves, some to the resurrection of life eternal, others to the resurrection of damnation. Oh, no, sinner. This is God's word I'm speaking. And God says, listen, the dead shall stand before God, and death shall give up the dead that's in it. Yes, those that have died, and then it says, and hell. Well, if the grave's the place, and death's the place for the body, hell's the place for the soul. And hell shall give up the souls of men and women of the unregenerate to go out for the judgment, to stand before God Almighty. What an awful thing. What an awful moment. What an awful place. We have here the company, the commotion, but notice the command. Because it says, death and hell delivered up the dead. Delivered them up. In other words, with a voice of command, they had to deliver up the dead. There's no escape here. You remember when the Lord Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And the tomb couldn't hold him anymore. Do you remember the demon of Gadara? And the Lord Jesus Christ, here was a man that was possessed with a legion. And the Lord Jesus said to the spirit, the unclean spirit, come out of the man. And they had to go. Word of authority, word of command. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ standing there beside the body of that little boy of Nain? A broken-hearted mother because she was a widow already and her son was taken. Jesus stopped the funeral procession and Jesus says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Sit up! He sat up. Just one word of command. I say, Jesus, I say unto thee, arise. You know, there's some people think that somehow they will outwit God, that somehow that they won't have to go to judgment. Let me tell you, dear sinner, don't you think I'll die and I'll crawl up in the grave out there and I'll hide away from God? If you think that, you're a fool. You're a fool. You're the devil's fool. Because delivered up. The grave delivered up. The bodies that were in the grave. And hell delivered up. The spirits that were in a Christless eternity. They delivered them up. Why? Because they were commanded. Deliver them up. The command of the Savior. And then very quickly notice, thirdly, the secrets displayed. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. And every man was judged out of those things which are written in the books. Listen, your life's recorded tonight. A person was telling me yesterday, said, you know, we've got to be careful what we do here because we're being watched. All these things are up there and up there in the sky and they're watching. Big Daddy's watching you. And friend, don't fool yourself. They are. I remember one time I was out on a police patrol with them in one of the helicopters. And they took me into helicopters, took me all around South Antrim area, and then they brought me around Macrofield. And I stood up in that helicopter, and I must confess, I have no head for heights, and it just only seemed this perspex, you know, sitting in front of me. And I said, what am I doing here? But I didn't open my mouth. Couldn't say, I was scared out of my wits. And there I was, sailing around, sailing over my own house there in Ballyroon Road, sailing all around the place, watching your house. And friend, let me tell you this. Whenever you're in that helicopter, you could know, you will sometimes wonder why. How do they get in houses? How do they get that there's cannabis being stored and all the rest of it? Let me tell you. They can understand the heat. And I was watching it. Went over. Yes, you are being watched. And up there in the sky tonight, let me tell you, yes, they have, up in space. And they watch the movements of people. And they showed me how they watch people going down the little alleys at night time. And I could see it. Listen, friend, forget about them. If you're doing nothing wrong, you needn't worry. And if you are doing something wrong, well, you should be caught. But listen, you are being watched. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books. The record of your life and mine, friend, God Almighty, dear unsaved person, the Word of God says every secret, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 14, every secret in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, every idle word, they shall give an account thereof. In the day of judgment, a day of recollection, a mountain of sin, lustful acts, wicked rejection. Man will stand before God. Surely I didn't live a life like that. Yes, you did. For God didn't only see your actions, God saw your desires. God saw the heart. For it was out of the heart of man proceeds those evil things. The secrets of men. A day of recollection. A day of reverence. Every knee shall bow. A day of remorse. I could have. I should have. I would have. But I didn't. What a day, friend.
The secrets displayed, but finally, the sentence determined. Notice what it says. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's the solemnity. They were judged. They were judged. The day of full justice, friend. The day when man shall stand before his maker, the solemnity. They were judged out of those things which are written in the books. I hear an awful lot of people, you know, and they try to excuse why they are a sinner, as they say, well, listen, I'm a sinner. Look at that person there. They're doing this, they're doing that. I'm sure you remember the wee man that used to come to this church years and years ago, wee Matt Ewan. And Matt loved this place. Matt used to go to the Fox and Pheasant. Now it's no longer Fox and Pheasant because the fox has caught his wee bird that's living there in that place now. Our brother McKee's living where it used to be. That's another secret. I'm not going into that. But, you know, the Fox and Pheasant. And Matt used to run. He used to go into it. And sometimes boys would say to me, they didn't know whether Matt was holding up the bar or the bar was holding him. And Matt used to go in and preach to them. What he heard on the Sunday night before, Matt used to go and preach to them. Tell them they need to be saved. Wasn't saved himself. Remember going to Matt one time and saying to him, Matt, why are you not saved? And he told me, he said, let me tell you, I see too many Christians. And he says, I saw a woman, he mentioned her name, and she goes to the prayer meetings, and she this, that, and the other, and she carries a big Bible under her hand, and she's the biggest hypocrite that I've ever seen. And he says, Matt, now that's very interesting. Because, Matt, I want to ask you a question. When God calls you to account on the day of judgment, will he ask about her or you? Will you answer for her or you'll answer for yourself? And thank God the Spirit of God did grip Matt's heart and Matt got saved. And he's in heaven now. He's in glory now. But friend, his barrier were others. And he hid behind others for years. And maybe you're here tonight and you're saying to me, preacher, listen, I would be saved only. Only because of her, friend, that's a lie. That's a lie. Who do you think you're fooling? Who do you really think you're fooling? I'd be saved only because of her or because of him. Now, friend, it is true that Christians can be a stumbling block. That's true, and that's sad, and that's the tragedy. What an awful tragedy to be a stumbling block to some poor sinner coming to Christ. But that's no excuse for you going to hell. That's no excuse for you rejecting God's Son. What did Christ do for you or on you that's worth rejecting? I'll tell you what Christ did. Christ went to a cross one day and he died for sinners. He went to Calvary's rugged tree and he shed his precious blood because he loved sinners. And he commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, in the day of judgment, friend, you'll be judged not out of the book for somebody else. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. The severity of the judgment is according to the records. In other words, the accuracy of the records, friend, it's dead accurate. It is your life. Surely I didn't live like that. Yes, you did. Surely I didn't say no to Christ. Yes, you did. But I never uttered a word. My friend, you didn't have to. All you had to do was walk out from another gospel meeting. You know what you're doing? You're turning your back on Christ. You're turning your back on God's offer of mercy and grace and love. And you're rejecting God's Son. If you want mercy and you want this love and you want this grace and you want this peace, then you can have it, friend. But you'll have it in Christ.
And you'll have to repent of your sin. You can't keep your sin. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from your sin. And turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you, you'll not cry out for mercy at the throne. This isn't a mercy throne. You'll stand before God. Do you remember the man in the scriptures, Jesus said that the rich man went to hell and he cried, "Father Abram, have mercy on me." What was the answer, friend? Nay. Mercy's over. You know, the Lord Jesus, or the scripture says in Proverbs 1, "I called, ye refused." Then God says this, "I will laugh at your calamity." And God says, "I'll mock when your fear comes." Man's mocking God today, but let me tell you, God will turn the tables. Man's laughing at God and the gospel preacher who stands up to preach the word of God, friend. But God says, "I laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh." And then the judgment. Cast into the lake of fire, the second death. The second death. Thank God for those that are saved tonight. Let me tell you, there is therefore now no condemnation. And then go on down Romans 8, and there's no accusation. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then there's no separation. For there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What an awful thing to die without Jesus. D.L. Moody, when he was preaching the word of God, a faithful servant of the Lord went one day into a great hotel in Philadelphia, and as he was standing at the desk there, a man dressed up with swanky clothes was standing beside. And Moody gave to the little clerk behind the desk, she said, "Who are you, sir?" And he says, "I'm D.L. Moody." The man standing beside him happened to hear that, and he looked at him for a moment. And he says, "Are you the D.L. Moody?" He says, "Yes, I am. I'm just D.L. Moody." And he says, "Tell me, do you remember me?" Moody says, "I must confess I don't." He said, "You remember taking a mission one time in the city mission in Hudson River?" And Moody says, "Yes, I do." He says, "One night you were preaching," he said, "Mr. Moody, and I waited to be converted. You came down to speak to me and you talked to me about the things of God. And then I said to you, Mr. Moody, I'll go home," he said. "I'll go home and I'll settle it there." He says, "Yes. Yes, I remember you. You staggered up the middle of the meeting house and your heart was breaking and you were sobbing. And I spoke to you and you said to me, well, I'll go home and settle it there." Moody says, "Tell me, sir, well, what happened that night? Did you get saved?" He says, "Mr. Moody, I went home and I went home to my library. And I sat down in my library and I took a piece of paper. And I wrote on the one side all the things that I believe I'd have to give up if I were a Christian, things that I was doing wrong, sins I was involved in, that I'd have to give up. And then on the other side, I wrote down on the other side all the things that I would gain in Christ. Then I looked at the list. And they said, I deliberately bowed my head in my hands, Mr. Moody. And I said these words, I will not." And Moody says that he remembers that man standing there in that foyer of that hotel. And the man stood and he said, "I never saw a face. His face was so stern and so angry." And he clenched his fist and this is what he said. And he says, "Moody, From that night, I hate God. I hate God. But he told the story and the tears were running down his cheeks. His heart was breaking. He says, there was a man that walked up or staggered up the aisle, broken in tears. The devil told him to go home. Far better to go home and leave the meeting behind and settle it there. And now he says, I hate God. Let me tell you, friend. And he's now met God. And so will you. Tell me, what did Amos say? He says, prepare. Get ready. I beg you in God's name, get ready. For your meeting God. Will you? Will you, friend? Or will you walk out again tonight in your sin? Reject Christ.